everyone. Welcome to episode number 34 of Quilt Cabana Corner. I am Sandy Caldwell, and I hope that you are having a wonderful start to the holiday season. So last week, I got a new laptop, and this is the first podcast recording on the laptop with the old microphone and everything. So hopefully it's going to come across okay, not sound too tinny. I noticed that when I turn the volume up really loudly from my end, it does start to sound a little like air, or I guess tinny noise is what you would call it. So hopefully that's not coming across to you. If it is, though, let me know and I will work on maybe recording off of my iPad or something. Okay, so go grab your coffee, tea, water, eggnog, whatever your pleasure is while you're listening. And I want to first thank everyone who participated in the fabric postcard swap. I think that we had 12 swap partners participating, and Carol was gracious enough to have two partners so that everybody who wanted to participate could. And I just want to say how joyful it was for me to see everyone interacting about the postcards on their blogs and on Twitter. And it was really, really fun to follow along as people mailed them and others received them, and then to see the pictures in the Flickr group. So if you go on to my blog, you'll see a link there to the Flickr group where you can see everyone's postcards. They were so creative and artistic and really just such a joy to look at. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for participating in the swap, and I hope to do it again next year. And I hope that we'll get even more people. I think we would all agree it doesn't take that much time to make one, an afternoon or something, or an evening after work, whatever. It didn't really take too long. And my swap partner was Jackie. And I have to say, I just love my postcard from you, Jackie. It was a 5x7 size, and there's a picture of it on my blog as well. It's a fireplace with five stockings, one for each member of my family. And it has a beautiful crocheted green wreath above the fireplace. It's just beautiful, and it will become part of my permanent holiday decor. So I thank you very much. So it was really, really fun. So think about joining us for next year so that you can join in the fun too. And it seemed like everyone's postcard, whether it was hand-stamped and mailed or put in an envelope and mailed, or whether you had a cranky postal worker like I did, who just got on a rant about not wanting to hand stamp my postcard for some reason. So I got the sticky label that they print out, and I was terrified that that label was going to fall off the postcard, and there's no return address on the postcard. I was like, oh no, my postcard's going to be floating out in postal space or something. But lo and behold, it arrived just fine. And I believe that Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us had the same issue and got the sticky affixed to her postcard as well, and it survived. So whatever means of transportation, they all arrived, they look beautiful, and I think that they've filled the hearts of everyone. So again, I thank you. So before we get going with talking about Christmas and books and all the other stuff we enjoy talking about on this podcast, I just wanted to say that I was on thequiltshow.com, their blog, and there's something here that says, make a quilt and make history. What it is it says, calling all quilters, California State Parks will commemorate its 150th anniversary throughout 2014 with an online show of quilts created by quilters throughout the state to honor our state parks. Please join in by signing up to make a California State Park-related quilt to include in their online quilt exhibit, which will be featured on their website. Your skills and talent will help them commemorate their anniversary creatively by highlighting examples of artisan quilts for all to enjoy. It doesn't have to be a landscape quilt. It can be anything related to the state parks that inspires you. Get involved and make history. So there are instructions from there on what they want you to do. Basically, you're creating a quilt, pretty much making an artist statement. They've got no restrictions as to the quilting style, fabric, technique, or size. And you email your interest, and then you submit a photo of your finished quilt. So if you would like to be included in that, it says all participants who submit photos for the online quilt exhibit by September 28th, 2014, that gives you plenty of time, will receive an official 150th anniversary quilt label. So that sounds interesting if you live in California, Jay, Diane, and I'm sure there are others I'm forgetting. Or if you've visited California and you've been to one of their state parks, you might want to consider participating in this. And I saw somewhere, oh yeah, it says for a complete list of California state parks. So if you're not sure if you've been to one or not, you can check this drop-down list. And they provide the web address there. So check that out if you're interested. That's on the Quilt Show blog, quiltshow.com blog. Okay, so Christmas is almost here, and it really, really is my favorite time of the year. I just love Christmas. I love it. Starting Thanksgiving night, I'm ready to, you know, get rid of all things Thanksgiving and put up my Christmas. I just absolutely love it. My kids love it. Greg loves it. And it's just so fun. This year, I'm hosting a few things. I've got Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then Holmes Family Christmas, which is Christmas with my sister's family and my cousins on that side. We'll all be here, and I'm looking forward to it. My mother will be coming down a few days ahead of time. In between now and then, we've got two neighborhood Christmas things to do. One is tomorrow night. It's a progressive holiday party in the neighborhood. This was started by yours truly a couple of years ago. Greg and I thought it would be nice to go house to house to see the neighbors' decorations and stuff and do really just appetizers and drinks at each stop. Usually there's four of us who host. We did it a few years in a row. This year, some of us were willing to let it go just because we had so much to do. But thankfully, a few of the other neighbors who hadn't had a chance to host before stepped up and said, we will host it. So it's even better for me this year because I get to just go. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then the following weekend, Greg and I are taking the girls to see the Nutcracker. Leah is really big into dance, and she enjoys ballet very much. And I feel like she's just going to love this. And Lindsay also dances. I think she'll love it. And I think that Amanda is just going to be amazed at the musical aspect of it because she is very much into, we call it the pit. She's into accompanying plays and things like that. So the pit orchestra is always very intriguing to her. So not that we'll be able to see it that well, but she'll be able to hear it. And she'll pick up on things that I would never have even dreamed of picking up on. She's very astute like that. So we are looking forward to that. And then our other neighborhood party is over at my friend Heather's house. And Heather lives across the street from us with her husband Paul and their two kids. And she hosts an annual Christmas Eve party. So that's two Eves. So it's the day before Christmas Eve. And that is always lots of fun with her family and some of our neighbors again. So nothing but fun coming up. My Christmas shopping is just about finished. Although I had to run into Target today and I found the cutest thing for Leah. So I bought it and told Greg I bought her an early birthday present. Her birthday's in July. he's on to me. He's just like, I see what you're doing there. But actually this time I think it can wait until her birthday because it's an Advent type thing and Advent's already begun. So I actually might just make it a Christmas in July thing for her. And I'll tell you what it is because it's so stinking cute. It's a Disney item and it's an Advent calendar of sorts and it's round. I almost think of the shape of an M&M, but much, much larger. More the size of an oversized yo-yo or something. Not quite as big as a donut, not quite as small as a yo-yo. But it's round and it's tin and on one side is the number for the Advent days and on the flip side is a picture of a Disney character. And it opens and it has a ribbon on the top. So you put your little Advent gift inside the tin, you close it, you can hide it so that, so Leah will have to go find it. And then once she finds it, she can hang it on the tree. And what I would like for her to do is to keep them as a keepsake. And then someday she can do that with her kids. So Amanda and Lindsay are not into the advent calendar thing anymore. They're, you know, 13 and 15 now. So, hey, that's a little too cool for the advent calendar. But Leah very much is into it. And this year she's actually working on a Lego one that's keeping her busy every morning. So anyway, my Christmas cards are out. I have to do a lot of wrapping the rest of this day. And my fudge, thanks to my mom, is all made. She came down, and with the girls, they made the fudge. So I kind of feel like I cheated, but hey, it's done. And I did make the toffee to go with it. It's that one with the saltine on the bottom, and then the butter and the sugar on the top, and then the chocolate chips. So actually, my mother and the girls made two batches of toffee, but we ate it all. So we had to make two more batches. But that's all done, and I have one plate sitting on my dining room table that has to be delivered, and then it has been delivered to all of the intended recipients. And we do that every year, and that is something that my mother started, and my sister and I used to go around the neighborhood and deliver the fudge, and it was so fun. It was so fun to go knock on the door with something that everybody looks forward to. It's really, really good fudge. And go in and have a little chat. And, you know, our neighbors were always, they were older, and they were so excited to see us and find out, you know, what we were up to, whatever. And we felt special giving it. So when Greg and I got married, we started the tradition here in this neighborhood before we had kids. And we would go around and we would have a drink at every house. So, and that was very fun. Very, very fun. We had to plan like an extended evening to go deliver all these plates of fudge. So as the neighborhood developed, because we were one of the first ones to build in this neighborhood, as, you know, more and more neighbors came and the kids grew up and all that, we actually don't deliver to every person on the street anymore because the neighborhood, the development is quite big now. But the girls like to deliver the fudge. But now I have to say, I think the girls are starting to be like, oh, I'm going to deliver the fudge, except for Lindsay. She's very happy to go around and do it, so I guess it's just one of those things, but I hope when they're older that they will carry on the tradition as well and the recipe, because like I said, it's really, really good. In fact, I think I put the recipe under free recipes on the blog, which reminds me, there are a couple of patterns that are free on the blog, and there's more recipes too, so click around. It's kind of hard to set up recipes on a blog with the blog pages, and I think I did it early in my blogging, so it's a little mishmash, but the recipes are up there. So that's pretty much Christmas in a nutshell. I'm on to full-on cleaning and cooking now. Starting next week, I'll be desperately trying to keep my first floor from looking like the wrecking ball has come through. I love the Christmas decorations, but I always start to feel claustrophobic, especially around the time when I'm trying to clean up the clutter. And it's hard. It's just hard this time of year. So anywho, that is Christmas in a nutshell. I want to talk for a brief minute about Daisy's Twilter quilt giveaway because I won. Na 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 na. I won. Sorry, had to get that out of my system. I so wanted to win a quilt from Daisy. I can't even tell you how much I wanted to win one. Daisy puts her whole heart and soul into everything she does, and I just knew I wanted it. So it was made even better by the fact that I found out that I won from a message from Daisy on the two evenings ago when I got home from my oldest daughter's Christmas concert, which was fantastic. So I was already on a high, and then I came home, and I had this message from Daisy, and she was just like, you won, and I was like, oh my God. But the quilt, if you haven't seen it, go over to Very Lazy Daisy's website, which is outlandishthreads.com, and there's a photo of it. It's pink, which I love pink, and it has the Twitter hashtag symbols. That's what the blocks are, and it's all over it. And it's adorable, and it's just a symbol of this wonderful quilting community that we have going on Twitter. I know other podcasters have talked about it too, but we call ourselves the Twilters. I forget how that name came up, but it's kind of stuck. So if you're not on Twitter, come and join us because it's so fun. We converse every day. It's like this whole other set of friends. you know, who are there to support and encourage. And we talk about other things, not just quilting. We're pretty current with each other's families and stuff like that. So it's a close-knit community, and I am so excited to have something that symbolizes how much that community means to all of us. So I thank you so much, Daisy. I'm super, super excited to have won a quilt that you made. I really, truly am. So I am looking forward to receiving it in the mail. My family, I think, thought I was nuts. I was like doing the big happy dance in the kitchen, and they were like, what? So, yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. And once I receive it, I will take my own photos of it and post it on the blog as well. So make sure you go over and check out Daisy's blog anyway. She's a little nervous that once her giveaway is done, people won't talk to her over there in comments. So comment away to Daisy, to me, to everyone. And speaking of which, I want to take 1 second here to thank a couple people who have left me very nice reviews on iTunes. And my latest 3 reviews were from Kati back in November. Thank you very much. And from Terjay Gold, thank you. And Sag Gert. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's S-A-G space G-E-R-T. So thanks so much for leaving a review. It means a lot to me. And it's always fun to go in and see that you have one that you haven't seen before. So let me check my list here. You know, I have my phone list going like I always do. I would talk about the grand plan, but I think the grand plan is just about done. It's here. And pretty much in terms of like heavy deep cleaning, if it's not done by now, not happening, at least in my house. So I think I can skip that. But thanks to Jenny for inspiring us all with the grand plan. I think it got a few of us really going. Okay. Goals and word of the year. Last year, if you recall, I didn't pick a word of the year. I had always picked a word of the year for the few years before that. And then last year, I wasn't feeling it. And I wasn't feeling it setting the goal list and all that stuff. And now I know why I wasn't feeling it. Because if you listen to Fran from the Off Kilter Quilt, in her latest podcast, she talks about the fact that she's turned 49 and that every 7th year is called a Sabbath year. And that is a year when you're allowed to step back and maybe not do all the volunteer things or all the, you know, whatever things you usually do. A year to just sort of take it easy and regroup. So unbeknownst to me, I think that's what happened to me because I turned 42 this year. So I'm a multiple of 7, right? 6 times 7. And I think I had my Sabbath year and I didn't realize it till right now. Okay, so my Sabbath year being done, I feel the need to get back and get organized and do things. So between that and Daisy's latest podcast where she makes a self-revelation very bravely about herself that she feels that she's quit quite a few things when she should have stuck them out and that maybe she has kept some of her good friends at an arm's distance and not knowing why and not even realizing it was maybe something on her end as opposed to maybe something she felt that had been on their end. So after listening to that and also just knowing in my own mind there were some things that I want to get done, I've decided that my word for 2014 is going to be engage. And by that, I mean engage myself in more things, engage myself more deeply and fuller into the things that I want to accomplish. Engage myself with my friends who oftentimes I think when you're raising kids and you're so busy and whatnot, you don't get to nurture your really good friendships. And, you know, I have several friends who I would like to see more and do more with and, you know, be more involved with what they're doing. I feel like a lot of times, sometimes they call me and I'm like, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, whatever. So I just want to strike busy from the vocabulary because I think everybody's busy. And I know that sometimes, you know, I get irritated when I'm talking to someone and all they can do is reel off everything. Oh, I have to do this, that, 10,000 other things. And I'm guilty of it myself. So we're going to strike. I am busy. And all that busyness out because, you know what, this is life. This is everyone's busy. So it doesn't mean that you can't take time for your friends, for your family, for your quilting. And certainly it's time to engage in a new list of goals. So that's it. That's my word for this year. It's going to be engage. I think my word for the year before last year was flourish. And I was going to make all my packages look grand and really decorate the house. And I don't know what I was thinking, but it seems like a silly word to me now. So hopefully I won't think engage was a silly word 2 years from now. But what's your word? Let's hear what your word's going to be this year. So that's it. Engage and make some goals and make a list. And figure out what I'm doing and all that kind of stuff. I do have lots of patterns that I need to type up and get onto the Quilt Woman system. I just have not done it yet. I have several quilts that I've sent out to magazines I'm waiting to hear on. I don't have any book stuff in the works. It's so hard right now, I think, to get a book idea going that appeals to the masses enough that someone wants to publish it. Doesn't mean it can't be done. It's just difficult, and I haven't really had the focus to come up with something like that. And having the book isn't all that important to me. I'm happy drafting the patterns, and I'm happy podcasting. I sometimes wonder, oh, maybe I should, you know, make some things and sell them that are already made. Because a lot of times, you know, in my circle, it's always, oh, I don't quilt, but oh, if it was already made. And that's a long sob story too, because you know how much time and effort it takes into actually making inventory. You never get your time and money back. So I don't know. I've got a few things to figure out what I actually want to do in the coming year. So I'll keep you posted as I go along. You can follow along on your blog. And in terms of goals, you know, I'll sit down probably the first week of January or even now, maybe now, and start, you know, making a list of things that I want to do and that sort of thing. So that's that. And, oh, I'm looking at my list and I see two things here that I just want to tell you before I forget. And one is in my daughter's classroom. Sorry to jump around, but my list jumps around, so I guess I'm jumping around too. In my daughter's classroom and for her dance company this year, instead of a Yankee swap, I'm just telling you this in case you have one coming up or you want to plan for next year, the kids are doing a party in a box theme where they go to the dollar store and they purchase $5 worth of things or $7. One group was doing $7, one group was doing $5. And they put it in a shoebox, and then they wrap the shoebox, and that's what they are kind of swapping, which I thought was a really cute idea, especially for dance, because you could fill it with hair bows and all kinds of dance paraphernalia. So we'll go to the dollar store or even the Target dollar spot or whatever, and Leah can fill her boxes up. And I just thought that was kind of a fun idea. And the other thing I see on my list here to tell you about is the Christmas tree light competition. Yes, there is one on my street. Just between myself and my friend Heather's husband across the street. His name is Paul. So both of our Christmas trees are in our front windows. And for the past few years, we have had a competition from the minute the tree goes up until after Christmas, who can get the tree turned on fastest in the morning. So the first year this occurred, Paul didn't know that there was a competition going on. I would just get up in the morning and turn my tree on and look out and go, yes, they don't have this on yet. So as it became known to Paul that I was doing this, the next year, it was like full-on competition. And it's just one of those things. You get out of bed, you run downstairs, you put the tree on, you look out the window, and either, yes, you beat him, or, oh, he beat me today. So usually it's 50-50, but this year I get up at 5 a.m. and he doesn't. So what I found out, because when the Christmas trees first went up that last week of November, he was beating me like every morning. And I'm like, how is this possible? I get up at 5 a.m. So it turns out that he has a remote control next to his bed that turns the dang Christmas tree on. And I didn't know that. And then when I was at the hardware store, I saw a remote control. And I was just like, I wonder if this would work from my bed to turn the Christmas tree on. Well, it does. And I was just like, oh, I'm so going to beat him. So when I said that to Heather, when we were walking to book club with each other down the street, I said, oh, I kind of feel like I'm cheating because I've got this remote control. And she says, Sandy, Paul's had a remote control since the start. So I was like, no way. Now I don't feel bad about using my remote control. So I was thinking, okay, well, I'm going to beat him every day anyway because I'm up earlier than he is. Well, don't you know, he's been beating me. And what is going on? What time is this guy getting up? So I think what's happening, what's happening now, because now I'm starting to beat him, is it has become more a competition of who has to get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night first. So if you drive down our street, my tree's on sometimes as early as 3:40 in the morning. And his tree is on sometimes even earlier than that. So I think we've just both completely gone nuts or something this year. And we laugh because Greg last year got up very, very early to go to work in the morning. But it was like, it can't be Greg who turns it on. It can't be Heather who turns it on. It has to be Paul or I. It can't be the kids. This is like, you know, between Paul and I. So it's just kind of funny. But yeah, I've won like almost every day this week. So I kind of keep drinking that glass of water before I go to bed so I can hit my remote control and look out the window and go, yes, victory is mine. But yeah, it's the small things for me sometimes. But it is kind of fun. And other people in the neighborhood know that we do it. So they're just kind of laughing that our trees are on so early every day. But and the rule is you have to at least turn it off before you go to bed too. You can't just leave it on all day, all night. So that's the Christmas tree competition. The turtle quilt. Let's talk about what I have been working on, actually, which really isn't much, I'm sad to say. Well, it is and it isn't, I guess. Most of my focus this last week has been moving files from the old computer to the new laptop. That's really what a lot of the focus has been for me, and that takes a lot of time. But I was trying to work on a wall hanging to submit to McCall's for their next December issue. And I managed to get the quilt top done of it, but I need to layer and base that, and I need to layer and base the turtle quilt, which is also coming along. But I have nowhere to actually lay them out and base them, I think, until after Christmas, because my dining room table is full of poinsettias and teacher gifts and all kinds of stuff. You know how it is. So I guess right now I'm just going to be in a little slowdown leading up to Christmas. Maybe I'll do some hand projects and stuff like that. I'm also getting a little bit of an itch to do some felting, which that bug hit me this time last year, and I went out and bought the supplies to do the felting, and I made a few things, and I really enjoyed it. And I can only imagine that it must have been the same thing. Like, I didn't want to get into the layering and the basting of quilts and needing a big space and stuff in this week before Christmas, yet I still wanted to be participating in quilting somehow or craftiness, so that's what I did. And maybe I'll pull the felting stuff out again and I could make a couple little gifts or something. So I've also been working on the sashiko, which is fun. My daughter is taking the confirmation class after church on Sundays, so I end up sitting there for an hour waiting for her to get out of the class because we're like 20 minutes from the church, so it makes no sense for me to go home and then go pick her up again. So last week I brought my sashiko, and it was actually a good conversation piece. A lot of people stopped by to see what I was doing and stuff like that. So I'll keep working on that. So I think the last thing I had on my list here to talk about was book club and C&T reviews. And I had done the review of the Fairy Garden book, and that is up on my blog. And also, The book club, what are we reading this month? Oh, we're on Tanisha's suggestion, we are reading The Rosie Project. And I just started that, and it looks like it's going to be really, really good. So I'll have more to talk about on that book during the next podcast. And you can go and listen to Tanisha talk about it in her latest podcast, too. So that's what we're reading. That's what we're doing. We're basically just doing Christmas. So I am going to take a minute to pause here and see if I can get a little bit of the audio from Amanda's high school winter concert that was 2 nights ago. They did such a fantastic job with the music. It was just so unbelievable. And I recorded a little bit of it on the camera, and I'm hoping it won't be a great recording because really I'm just going to hold the microphone up to it just as sort of a lead out. But I hope that you all have a very, very, very wonderful holiday. A Merry Christmas to you. A Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you celebrate, wherever you are, I hope that you are just enjoying your family, getting a little bit of time to quilt or stitch by the fireplace, and just enjoying yourselves and feeling peaceful. That's truly my wish for everyone, to just feel peaceful. So you know where to find me. I am quiltcabanapatterns.com. You can find me at Quilt Cabana on Twitter, Quilt Cabana Patterns on Facebook. Feel free to find me just as Sandy Caldwell on Facebook, too. Maybe Daisy, who was talking about that the other day. I'm more than open to being friends with everyone on Facebook. So anyhow, yes, enjoy your holiday, and I will talk to you soon. Okay, just give me a minute here to hit a couple buttons to get it going. I may not play the whole thing if it doesn't sound like it's recording all that well. Thank you. that you all enjoyed that. Happy holidays, everybody.